Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Hey, Murudi, ligai.
Hey, great, among the best. Yeah, how are you, my elder?
No, man, feeling good. Can't complain. Has your day been good?
Excuse me, say that again.
Has your day been good?
My day's been awesome. My day's been the best. How has yours been?
No, I had a fantastic one. Busy, but good. Now, you know, yesterday we started off by sharing, the scriptures that talk about being saved by grace through faith.
Sure.
And so I just want to check with you because we delved very deep in the faith part yesterday. Now, is there any importance in works?
Man, let me thank you once again for having this chat with me and greet all the listeners who are with us this afternoon as we dive a little bit deeper into the subject.
Mm.
Importance on works. You'll remember our anchor text is Matthew 14, verse 31.
Yeah, yeah.
That says that, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?"
Mm.
I want to start off by mentioning this, that works, we spoke about this just a little bit yesterday, that is as a result of faith. Without the faith, the works will not show. Because faith directly informs the works. Now, because what the book of Hebrews says is that faith is a substance of things hoped for,
yep,
and the evidence of things not seen. And in that statement, there's nothing, excuse me, that has been seen yet. There's nothing tangible that you can be able to see. In that whole statement, you have spoken a whole lot of air because in that whole statement, there's no product that you can physically say is tangible. Now, I want to quickly explain that before I come down to the issue of works. Let's go to the meeting of John and Christ while they are both fetus. I don't know what the plural of fetus is. Fetuses or fetus?
I think it's just fetus. But, let's be safe.
They're both fetus and they're meeting for the first time.
Mm.
John had been quiet in the stomach of his mother Elizabeth since conception. He has not moved. He has not done anything. He has just been there. And then, now, I want you to understand something that I'm trying to explain how faith informs the active physical part, right?
Mm-hmm.
So John has no sense of smell. Has no sense of sight, mm-hmm. has no sense of touch, has no sense of hearing, has no sense. All his senses are not yet active in terms of understanding what is their perception. Probably, you know, the biologists, they will argue that maybe he can hear, but he cannot hear.
Mm.
The presence of Christ, because Christ is also in another stomach, right?
Yeah.
So that may well be there, yet he cannot use it to perceive Christ, right? And so there's no sense that is there in his at his disposal that he can use to be able to perceive the presence of Christ. And yet when the presence, the proximity of Christ is in his presence, or the other way around, he leaps And he begins to show actively and physically the acknowledgement of Christ's presence there in his life. That is important to know, that when the faith is active and is enough and present, when Paul says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, when it is evident that Christ is there, the action exposes itself.
Yep.
The action is clear. So there's no way that you can have an action that is contrary to what you believe in. Then you are a liar.
That is why
then God says, thou shalt not lie.
Yes.
Because you are going contrary to what you believe in.
Yeah.
When you believe in something, the action that follows what you believe goes directly according to the information that is given by the faith. So when John perceives Christ, and here's where the power of what I'm saying is. When John perceives Christ without the senses, he acts on that perception by faith without the senses. Yet when John perceives Christ in the physical form, while he's imprisoned, he then doubts the Christology of Christ. The Christness of Christ.
Mm-mm.
He doubts the Christness of Christ because now he's imprisoned, because now he's disadvantaged, because now he cannot reap the benefits of being the cousin of Christ. He then doubts. I don't know if you get the paradox of this whole spectrum. When he's a child, he fully believes and he acts according to how he believes. Yet when he's an adult, somehow he begins to doubt and he acts according to his doubt. He then says, guys, go and ask him if he's the one, or should we wait for another?
Mm.
Our actions are completely informed by our faith.
Mm.
So we cannot go, we must never go against what we believe in. Our action must always be informed by our faith.
Mm. Interesting. Now, having said that, because there are these guys, man, called the Pharisees.
Come on.
They were much focused on the works, if you remember. Do you think they got it right?
Look, the works are the indicator. So if you are driving, and then you want to go into another lane on the freeway, and you do not indicate, you may cause accidents. If you are driving and you are at the traffic lights, and you want to turn to another direction and you do not indicate, you may cause accidents. Similarly, with the Pharisees, these guys were almost right to focus on the works. Unfortunately, the focus was just overbearing and just a bit too much. But the reality of the matter is this. If you are going to be walking, and you are going to overstep the boundaries, they had calculations. This is probably a terrible example to use, but let's go for it. If you're going to overstep the boundaries of the calculations that they had on a Sabbath of how many steps you can take towards the synagogue, then you were in sin. And so what they did was, they were overbearing in terms of the action, forgetting that the Sabbath was not made so that men can worship the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made so that it can give relief to men on Sabbath. It was made so that it can serve men on Sabbath. It was not made so that men can serve the Sabbath. So the action, their use of action in terms of being a gauge or a meter of some sort to gauge your faith was completely wrong. Their teaching of using your actions so that they can display your faith was actually right. So they look at your actions and they say your actions tell us how great your faith is, right? And then they use, which is correct, but then they go overboard and then they say, by the way, if your actions go over this meter of saying that you have overwalked, then it means you have sinned. Then it means your actions are telling us that you are a sinner. That was completely wrong. So the guys come in and they say, you have sinned because you have overwalked today. Yet Christ then says to them, yeah, if this guy overwalked while trying to help somebody else, they have actually brought the Sabbath to the person who needed the help. You see, Christ agrees with them when they say, your actions prove to us that you are observing the Sabbath, right? Then he turns around and he says, just as long as your actions continue to observe the Sabbath, you can walk as far as you want.
Okay. All right.
Christ says to them, there's a guy who got robbed on the road. And people came, and because they didn't want to break the Sabbath by overwalking, they were not able to help this guy. Yet a guy who was not concerned about overwalking so that they don't break the Sabbath actually came and helped this person. And in so doing, that person now, the one who was helping, was now observing the Sabbath and was also helping the next person who was robbed and fighting for their lives also to observe the Sabbath. And both these people were totally out of the bounds of our understanding of the Sabbath, because this one is a victim. He now has to go and be admitted at the hospital and cause somebody to work, or at an inn or whatever, the lodge, somebody to work. This one who is helping must now pay on a Sabbath, causing somebody to work. Everyone, the three who are involved in this whole story, are breaking the Sabbath because one is working, one is causing the one to work, the other one is also causing the other one to work. All of them, according to our confines of understanding the Sabbath, they're all breaking the Sabbath. Yet Jesus says, those are the guys who actually kept the Sabbath.
Wow.
So their actions, all three of them, their actions are informing us that their faith is intact. Their faith is in the right place, because their understanding of the whole spectrum of what's happening is that the Sabbath was made for men, not men for the Sabbath. The one who serves the other is the Sabbath serving man. So the point of this whole thing is that at the end of the day, man must find rest in the Sabbath. If man is not finding rest in the Sabbath because of the Sabbath, then man is sinning against God because he is not finding rest in the Sabbath.
Sure. Let's wrap it up, Pastor. So tell me now, let's bring it back home.
Yes, sir.
Now, when we focus on being a commandment-keeping church, you know how we pride ourselves, Seventh-day Adventists, with keeping the commandments, etc. Are we not putting too much weight on the works like the Pharisees did?
You know, I worry a lot. I worry a lot because we have nurses. I worry a lot because we have doctors. We have policemen. We have people whose services cannot be suspended on the Sabbath. That worries me a lot. You know, these are essential services. You cannot move or shy away from these services. These are essential services, and that worries me a lot because the church persecutes these people for working on Sabbath. Yet, maybe it's a case of my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Ellen White, answering this question, she says, when you have gone to work on Sabbath as a medical practitioner or a nurse or a policeman or an essential service, the wages of that particular Sabbath service then are dedicated to the aid or they are counted as tithes. Let me put it that way.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you add them to your tithe. So wherever you're going to return your tithe to, that you add those wages of what you are serving on Sabbath, because you are not serving yourself on Sabbath. You are serving God on Sabbath. That comes in that way. Now, the question that you're asking, that as a church, are we not then behaving like Pharisees? Unfortunately, that becomes a very heavy question to answer, because we do behave like Pharisees. We look down on each other, and it is as if we deal with each other harshly. We deal with each other very, very harshly. It is very unfortunate that we deal with each other in that way, because what is supposed to be happening is that the church needs to be finding innovative ways. If somebody else is a cashier, it's not an essential service, but the job hinges on that person being there on Sabbath at work. I was baptizing 2 weeks back another lady who said to me, "Pastor, I work in a month. I work one Sabbath in a month, and I don't know if my baptism will mean anything." And I said to her, "Go and speak to your employees. Your employers. We are praying for you. Go and speak to your employers. If they agree, they agree. If they don't, they don't. This has nothing to do with your faith in Christ and you getting baptized. It's got everything to do with your livelihood. And that livelihood, God knows about it. So when you speak to them, it is God who's going to speak to their hearts to do what God wants them to do. Should they not agree, it is God who is going to help you through this difficult time. And it is God who will help you to find a different way of serving him on Sabbath. Should any of that not take place, you know that you are serving God even on that day when you are working. That the wages for that day, take them and give them back to God. Tell him that you want to serve him in a different way. Because when Joseph was in Egypt, no one gave him Sabbath off. Nobody gave Joseph a Sabbath off when he was in Egypt. Yep. He was on the job 24/7. Yet when he found, or eventually when God answers his prayers, Joseph wakes up one day, he's in prison. And when the day ends, he is the prime minister of Egypt.
Wow.
That must say something to us, that your faithfulness, if your faith is in the right place, your faithfulness to your faith will show by its works. And if you are not able to show them by the works, God knows, can see your heart until the time when you are able to show by the works.
Yeah, I must say, ooh, some deep stuff there, Pastor. Wow, I think we need time to swallow this. You know what? Let's, I think, park it there for today. And, of course, prepare for tomorrow, wherein we're going to be joining you at the same place and at the same time. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you, my elder. I'm so happy to have been with you today. We're getting warmed up. It's just a warming up.
It's getting there. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
By the time this week ends, faith versus work is going to be another issue altogether.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Sure. Thank you. God bless.
Thanks. Your blessings.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.